Hi, folks. This is Griffin McElroy, your baby brother.
And this is Travis McElroy, your middlest brother.
And what you're about to hear is the first episode of the Max Fun Drive 2017. Welcome to the Slam and Come On and Jam and all that. Justin's not here, by the way, because he got slammed and jammed.
Yeah.
He literally got turned into a basketball and got dunked through a hoop. And he fell into a cartoon alternate universe and got put through a hoop. And, like, he needs surgery and stuff now.
Mm-hmm. It's very sad, but you know what? It's the risk you take when you play with the Monstars. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You in the game of jams, you win or you die.
Exactly.
Well, Justin lost and lived. But anyway, that's all beside the point. What you need to know about this episode. One, we recorded it in Portland hours before our Portland live show, which, by the way, hey, Portland, what's up? Thanks for coming out on Saturday. We had a good time and a good night with you. That live episode we are probably going to save until after the Max Fun Drive, but it was super fucking fun and very weird and really long. It was like our longest live show ever. So it was a blast. The other thing you should probably know about this episode, what's a good way to put this?
It's Trav? Okay. So we recorded it, in a hotel room all together using, a new setup, and there's some minor audio issues.
Travis sounds like he's maybe recording from a well or something.
You can listen. Don't let Griffin oversell it. You can totally understand everything I say, and you can hear me. It just sounds like Griffin and Justin made me record in the hallway while they were in the hotel room.
Travis got put in the boo-boo box. Anyway, that's not great. And also, there's a little bit of static interference that pops up every now and then. It's not like super loud or anything like that, but it's kind of annoying. We're recording this because, like, it's Max Fun Drive, and the last thing we want you to think is, like, that we just kind of shit some stuff out. We recorded, like, a dozen podcasts last week, and we actually have a lot more to record this week, too. And so this was sort of, like, the only way we could do this one, and we just didn't realize that it wasn't up to our normal standards, and that is regrettable considering it's the first week of the Max Fun Drive, and we hope it doesn't reflect poorly on us or like what we think of the drive or you the listeners for supporting us, because this episode aside, we really do spend your money to improve the show. technically, we are sorry for the somewhat poor quality of the audio of this episode.
But that said, I will say there were some moments in this where I was laughing my head off because like we're so very rarely, just a little teaser, we do finally nail down our pitch for Austin Powers 4. So,
yes,
like,
there's very exciting, very important stuff to the canon of the podcast. So, first off, thank you all for listening. Thank you all for being members of the Max Fun Network. We're going to talk a lot about that in the actual episode, but it really does mean a lot that you all would support us and help us to grow and like do stuff like travel to Portland and do a fun live show there and do all this stuff. We really appreciate you very, very much. The other thing, as sort of a mea culpa, sort of an apology for the less than awesome audio quality of this episode, we're going to be putting out another thing this probably later this week, don't you think?
Yeah, definitely. Maybe Thursday or Friday, somewhere in there.
That we also recorded while we were in Portland. And we can't give away, I don't want to give away too much about this thing that we recorded. It could turn out to be the pilot of the next serial,
I'll say that.
I'll also say we recorded this episode that you're about to hear before the live show. We recorded this other thing after the live show. And let's just say there was a unique, wink, 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 energy in the space.
Wink, wink, wink. So that will be up, later this week. But in the meantime, like, brace yourselves for a little bit of audio issues, but like an episode that I'm actually really proud of, and I would have been really sad if we had had to dump it. So I'm very glad that you can listen. Still totally listenable. So don't let this turn you off.
Portland is just an audio wormhole because the live show, the only live show we've never published, got ed up in Portland too. I love Portland, man. Love getting to the port city. There's audio demons and gremlins all over.
Audio squatches.
White noise just all over, just trying to creep on you. Anyway, that's it for this apology press conference. Any questions?
MaximumFun.org/donate if you want to just get it out of the way now.
Okay, yes, and then you're legally allowed to skip all the Max Fun Drive spots in this episode. Okay, let's get right to it.
The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids. which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Hey, good girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Hello, welcome to My Brother, Me, an advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin. Tyler McElroy.
I'm your middlest brother, Travis Tyler McElroy.
I'm your sweet baby brother, Tyler. Tyler. Tyler.
You'll pay for the whole Tyler, but you only use the S.
Did you send out questions, Travis?
I did. Wait. Hi. This is, first, foremost, welcome to Max Fun Drive.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
And we decided to do something real fucking special for you this time, which is to say, we just ate a bunch of voodoo donuts, and I'm just fucking feeling it so hard, yeah, dude.
This is the donut. What's a good, catchy, zingy? The
donut skip this episode.
No, yeah, that's not a good.
That's really
donuts
good
for donuts.
No, the donutagon, the donutahedron.
Donutahedron.
Like, we had spaghettiageddon, and mm-hmm, I feel like this is the follow-up, because we're jacked.
We're fucking jacked on
sugar. Sugar.
We're in Portland. We're doing our Portland live show. And, you know, we're all in the same room, so we thought, let's just make a very special
this is a
episode.
Chill. Can you take a picture of this chill-ass sesh?
I mean, not during the podcast.
Yeah, maybe not during it.
But Travis has us hooked up to the lav mics, which is weird, because I feel I need that fucking totem of comedy in front of me.
It just feels like we're talking to each other, but I hate it. Yeah.
I need that big metal comedy dong in front of me that I can just sort of shout into. So it's weird. Like, I'm just, like, looking at you and talking, and, like, is this being recorded? And I look down at this dumb little doohickey on my chest, and I'm like, oh, yeah, this is good.
So wait, so you say you sent questions.
I did. Episode 347. I literally titled it 347, Max Fun Drive Week 1, recorded live in Portland.
Oh, you sent it like a grip ago.
Dude, you sent it on March 16th. That was 2 days
ago.
Yeah,
that was before St. Patrick's Day.
I was prepared. Let's start off with this.
Oh, okay.
I don't have anything.
Okay. I got on an elevator last night when I got here to Portland at 12:45 a.m. with a St. Patrick's Day celebrant who smelled so much like two people's yards that it made me not want to be in the elevator with him. And so Portland just goes hard. I didn't know.
Yeah, I didn't know y'all went hard.
You don't see that on the Portlandia comedy show. You don't see people going fucking deep in the paint when it comes to celebrate St. Patrick's great sacrifice.
I'll balance that out by saying I went to Rose and Thistle, local favorite Rose and Thistle, had a nice, pleasant corned beef and cabbage and a Guinness. Everybody was very chill, and I left. Now, granted, this was 5 o'clock, so I don't think we'd hit peak celebration time.
Yeah.
But speaking of celebration,
hey, let's celebrate.
What I wanted to start off with is, it's week one of Max Fun Drive, and we're going to tell you all about it as we go through. But right now, MaximumFun.org/donate. You know what? Listen, there's going to be 2 weeks of people giving you really good reasons why you should donate. Why not just do it now? And it's like, I'm done. Yeah, I agree. And get that all out of the way.
Skip those parts.
Yeah, then you're legally allowed to fast forward through the parts of this show that you don't want to listen to.
So if you have been waiting for the perfect time to become a Max Fun donor, it's now.
It's the My Brother and Me Fast Pass. Go ahead and donate now.
But listen, if you try to fast forward and you didn't donate, we'll know and we'll shock your finger. I have been waiting to reveal this to you until we were all recording. Last night, I arrived in the evening, a few hours after my brother Travis did, and I called him to say, you know what I'm about to say.
Yes, it is.
I called him and I said, where are you at? He said, I'm in the hotel. I'm right above you. So I would go up to his room. He said, I just got dessert. Come on up. And I was like, okay, cool. I go up. My little brother Travis has ordered 3 discreet desserts for himself.
Oh, that's
with no knowledge of my presence. Travis has ordered 3 discreet desserts. When I asked him, when I inquired, what would possess him to get 3 discreet desserts, he told me I was bored. So
I wanted to. Yeah, okay, listen.
What were the 3 desserts? First off, let me
thank you. First, I believe it was a peanut chocolate bomb with salted caramel. And then there was a, like, vanilla ice cream and chocolate brownie number and a set of 3 creme brulees, or as I like to call them, Grim Delays.
Why?
Because it makes me think of Delay Hill.
Okay, yeah, for sure. Love that guy.
So I had three Grim Delays, and...
You know he's fucked up and said it that way once. Like, and Mr. Hillwell, you have dessert? Creme brulee?
I mean, shit.
Shit.
And I had not intended to eat all three of them. I just wanted to sample what life in Portland hotels was like.
Yeah.
This is a good hotel, though. I'm enjoying this hotel. The Hotel Eastland is where we're staying.
Yeah, people won't hear this till after we're out of it. Yeah. We're at Hotel Eastland, room 205 and 305.
Better luck next time, murderers.
You'll never murder us this time.
You'll catch us on the next go-round.
This is going to be really sad if we do get murdered. Portland, this is released posthumously.
Should we get going?
Yeah,
we're going to tell you about the Max Fun Drive and the cool
stuff. Just go donate. You'll get cool stuff. We really need it and appreciate it.
MaximumFun.org/donate.
Donate. I'm a busboy at a popular chain restaurant, and I need some advice. I frequently work long shifts that begin early in the morning and end in late afternoon with no break. And I have a tendency to skimp on breakfast so bad. Tim Ferriss says you need 30 grams of protein within 30 minutes of waking up.
Who says this?
Tim Ferriss, 4-hour work week, 4-hour body.
Oh, I don't know who that
is. Slow carb diet.
Slow carb?
Slow carb? Yeah, it's like low carb.
You eat.
It's like low carb minus cheese and dairy plus beans. So beans at every meal.
So you go to the Cheesecake Factory and you just really take your time.
No, you don't. No, what? You're not listening to me.
Travis, should we turn the air conditioner off, you think? I'm worried it's
going to be... No, listen, I want people to know what it feels like to be in a hotel room.
Okay, well, we're nice and cool.
No, I've been doing it. That's why I was so hyped about donuts. Actually, why... I'm so kind of surprised you didn't drop this bomb. We'll get back to this question in a second. I've been doing the slow-carb diet, so I've only been eating, no sugar, nothing white, no milk, no dairy, no sugar, no fruit... No.
Well, this is a bad diet. If it's like, don't fruit it up, dude.
Now, do you think your ancestors had easy accessibility to fruit?
Yes. It's like, they just like looked up in a tree and they're like, let's eat those. There's some red stuff up here. That's weird.
Fructose is sugar. It's sugar, guys. Hey, guys, it's sugar.
So wait, you're telling me that you have the inside scoop that fruit is bad for you?
Fruit's bad. You heard it here first.
Fruit is sugar. Like,
you're dropping on me.
Okay.
You're dropping on me. Hold on. We'll get back to the question in a second. Fruit is bad for you. Signed, Justin McElroy.
No, if I was a person of a healthy weight, fruit in moderation would be good for me. I'm not.
But once you get overweight, you're not allowed to have fruit anymore?
Because fruit is bad for
you? No, because it's just sugar, guys. It's high... Okay, Travis, where does sugar come from? No, tell me. I'm not... This is not a joke.
Bees.
Okay, bad.
Space.
Where does sugar come from, Travis?
Not space. You know it wasn't space.
Where does sugar come from?
It comes from cane, Justin.
Okay, which is a plant that grows
from bees. Ground.
So, why is it that if you eat a bunch of that plant... That's a bad thing you should avoid for diet. But if you eat one that looks like runts, then it's fine.
Well, runts is a great... Well, you've complicated this by bringing runts into the equation because I look at these little guys and I'm like, is it fruit or no? Because it sure as hell looks like it.
So
they should make candy shaped like vegetables.
I have to eat 30 grams of protein within 30 minutes of waking.
Or you will die.
With beans.
It's so like every morning, it's like that Jason Statham movie.
Every morning I wake up and eat like 4 scrambled eggs and a bunch of lentils and black beans and vegetables sometimes within 30 minutes of waking. Cindy says, and I quote, "That is not a smell I ever want to wake up to again. I have no choice. That's why I have
How's your and I don't want to be blue here, so let's be delicate. But how's your 9 a.m. constitutional?
How's your beamers?
not applicable. But anyway, on the seventh day.
You just put the questions down. Justin just made the decision of, well, I'm not going back to this.
No, I'm going back to it. I just want to say that one of the things is on the seventh day, on Saturday.
Justin rests.
That day is Justin.
Pretty much, because I have to eat like a garbage person.
What? No, this is a bad diet.
So that's why I was so excited and why at 6 a.m. this morning when Griffin woke up to use the bathroom, I was sitting in my bed with a laptop on my lap and Griffin said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm looking at donuts." Because I was planning to eat my donuts like a garbage person.
Did you consult a physician or a teacher?
Yeah, I got one that I know pretty well.
Okay, all right. You want to get back into the question?
Yeah. Okay, so.
Where were we?
Busboy at a popular chain restaurant.
Busboy at a popular chain restaurant needs some advice. Work long shifts that begin early in the morning and late in the afternoon with no break, and I have a tendency to skimp on breakfast. About a week ago, I was 5-ish hours into a shift after having eaten nothing but banana in the morning, and I was getting to the hunger level where I start to feel sick. Seeing no other options, I took an untouched plate of biscuits back into the kitchen and had a couple bites. I took no joy in this and quickly went back to work. When I got home, I recounted the dark deed I had committed to my friends, and they said not only is it not gross to eat a stranger's unwanted food, but they encouraged me to do it all the time and with foods that are tastier than biscuits. Not applicable, but fine. I love my friends, but I have seen them eat off the ground and out of the trash, so I don't really trust their judgment here.
My friends are raccoons.
How nasty am I for doing what I did? Should I throw away all caution and dignity in the wind and eat a rando's mac and cheese? That's from Damiao.
The thing is this is fine right up until the point where you are observant.
Yes.
It's like, yeah, okay, you ate a bite off that thing. Cool. Now picture that. But your boss is there? Is this fine?
Or, I'm sorry, I'm so on the side of just eat the fucking food. Don't throw good food in the garbage can. That's so wasteful.
We have a huge problem with waste in this country.
But if I go to Bob Evans and those were my biscuits that I bought and paid for, and then I leave and I'm like, oh, I left my coat. I got to go get my coat back. And I walk back in and I see you eating my fucking biscuits. I would point at you and shout, thief.
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 Well, this should be like in biscuit ride bandit. Sharing, where it's like, you know, if you share a lift with someone, you split the cost. You can have those biscuits, but half of those biscuits are going on your
Holy
bill now.
Shit, Travis. Okay.
Biscuit app.
Biscuit. B-S-K-T is the app. And here's the app.
Biscuit does not have a K in it.
It does now. It's so cool.
We're shortening it to biscuit.
Shortening it. There's something there.
There's something there.
We'll get to it.
You push the button on biscuit.
Biscuit.
When you say,
I have the nearest uneaten biscuit.
No, it's the inverse. It's both. There's two sides of it. So if you have a bunch of unfinished touch food and it's like, oh God, I feel terrible about throwing this away. Press the biscuit. You load up biscuit and you load it and say, I got some grub here. And you put a little flag or something so they don't get rid of it. And then if you're hungry and you don't want to pay for the food, you press the button. It's like, where's some food around here? And it connects. It's connected.
But then you have to go to the Bob Evans and be like, sir, table for one. It's like, no, don't worry about me.
I was led to believe there were some loose biscuits.
I'm operating outside of your traditional restaurant norms. Don't worry about me. Don't even think about me.
I don't mind sharing a table. I've worked a couple different breakfast restaurants before, and a couple different iterations, and I have stolen food before it's made it to someone's plate.
What?
Like I worked at a hotel breakfast restaurant place where they just had like a bunch of like Danishes. And I would just eat them. Like, they were just there.
But this was not made to order.
No. These were just
but
Danish.
I definitely worked at the Olive Garden. And I definitely a few times was like, ooh, a few too many calamari on this plate. Don't want to, and then just snatch it.
That's called the angel share.
The angel share of calamari. We talk a lot about our former jobs. And this is a question that maybe a legal law person could answer for us. But is it possible to get... after fired in some way,
post-fired,
because we're sort of braggadocious about our little Robin Hood-esque acts.
I actually think I'm beyond statute of limitations.
Oh, defo. Fine. When I quit that breakfast restaurant, hotel place, I just took two boxes of frozen Danishes with me. That was my severance. That was my breakfast severance.
The best thing about working at the Olive Garden is... Not every few weeks, because it wouldn't have had to be every few days. They serve chicken tenders for kids at the Olive Garden, but they come frozen, right? And some of the tenders would break or into smaller pieces. So after you distributed all the tenders, you would be left with, in the bottom of the bag, just some unservable nugs.
Some chicken leavings.
Because we didn't have nuggets, we had tenders. So the best day of all of our lives is we would just dump all those into the fryer, and that was like nug day at Olive Garden. And you bring them out, and everybody's like,
nug day.
Nug day.
When I worked at the coffee shop that was also a restaurant,
you could have like one meal while you were working, but the benefit was you made the meal yourself, so you could just go off menu and be like, yeah, I had a sandwich stuffed with french fries and stuff, and you would just put whatever you wanted to into your meal, and you just end up with like a plate piled with food that was free.
There's that when nasty air conditioner again.
When I was at Travis, turn the air conditioner off.
Please turn the air conditioner. Oh, you can't. You're strapped in. Wait, this is a fun little folk game we've got now. It's like the maypole. Can Travis get to the air conditioner?
I can just unhook the lab.
Nope, don't you dare. Don't you dare unplug.
I don't want to pull my Zoom off the thing.
Come on, don't pull it off. Do it, Travis. It's right there. Wait. You're right there.
Yeah, it's right there. Just turn the
fan off. God, this is like gravity. There we go.
I've done it.
When I was at... Oh, God. When I was at Target...
They sweep in the hallway?
I was at Target the night before we went on the JoCo cruise. And as I'm at Target, and I'm take Charlie up to get a juice. We don't let her have juice a lot because it's made of fruit. And we all know how that is for you.
Yeah.
But as I was going up to the juice, I saw a lady who worked at Target eating a single hot dog on a plate. Because I think that was that Target meal. And she was just flipping through pictures of her baby while she ate a hot dog.
That's
and
nice.
I was like, that's nice. That seems really nice. And then later she checked me out. And I was like, I didn't want to mention.
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking?
I didn't want to mention
that. That's got to be jelly because jam don't shake like that.
I saw you eating a hot dog. And I wanted to say like, hey, did you like your hot dog? Was that a good hot dog? But I feel like there's some...
Wait, you wouldn't say that to any other human being ever. So why would you do that
but
to
I
the
knew
person
that she had just enjoyed a hot dog.
Yeah.
What's better, Justin? Her eating a hot dog and flipping pictures of her baby? Or her holding her baby and flipping pictures of hot dogs?
Okay, we've solved this one.
Yeah, how about a Yahoo?
Yeah.
This one was sent in by Drew Campbell. Thank you, Drew. It's Yahoo Answers user. Sorry, something's gone wrong, but we'll call him. Jar.
I just realized I could stand like yeah. Seth Romitelli does.
Oh, yeah. You get that Seth Rowe style. This one was asked by Germs.
Right, that's over with.
Okay. Well, that was fun.
Trying to sit back there.
Germs asks, do you like people generally? Or would you rather kick some butt?
In the new Predator movie, that's the first scene. One Predator says to another one, hey, do you like people generally, or do you want to kick some butt?
They I mean, I think five. This is something that the big beefcakes say to each other, like, I just don't like people. I'd rather kick some butt.
I just don't like people generally.
Generally speaking.
Generally speaking.
Show me 10 people, I will dislike at least 6 of them.
And the what? Other 4, I'll kick their butts. Or yeah. Wait. Do you like people generally, or would you rather kick some butt? This is a tough one, isn't it? Because, like, in today, I look around, and I'm like, I want to stay positive, right? And, like, accept everybody, all walks of life. But I also see, like, more and more people that I think, like, I don't like you generally, and I think I'd rather kick your butt. I don't advocate violence.
I don't think the two are mutually exclusive. I like people generally. And I would also like to kick some butt.
Justin, yeah. I'm sorry. I wish that were true, but I would like to cite a great media precedent for this. It's the hit film Street Fighter.
Yeah.
And when they're making Blanka, if I remember correctly, they make him 51% good so he doesn't just go around murdering everyone all the time.
Okay.
So that's the question is, do you like people 51%?
So did you recently watch Street Fighter and just think like, boy, I got to think of a way to reference this in the podcast?
I haven't seen it since it first aired in theaters. That moment just always really stuck with me.
Okay.
There's one really sick line in Street Fighter's movie when Bison is talking to Chun-Li, I think it is.
Yeah.
And he says, the day that M. Bison destroyed your village was the most important day of your life. To me, it was Tuesday. It's so rad.
Yeah, it's like really a sick
good.
Burn.
It's a good
it's
way to
like,
say.
Did they bring in one? They brought in Shane Black to write, listen, Shane.
Shane,
it's
write
me.
This one line.
Write one line.
I really liked the line where M. Bison's talking to, I think it was Ryu, and he says, I don't like people generally. I'd rather kick some butt. Does this mean, they're, okay.
It sounds like Shredder. It sounds like Master Shredder.
Yeah.
I don't like people.
I don't like turtles generally. I'd rather kick some butt.
I've met some nice one, definitely, that I have liked, but like, on the whole.
Charlie, by the way, this question's from 9 years ago. This was
That's,
this was
that's
before then. Fucking George W. Bush was president, and people were really, and he was on his way out, and people were really thinking about kicking some butt. Charlie says, I like some people, but some people are just a lost cause, and methinks that a kick in the butt would not cure them. Need something much more effective. Let me think what we should do.
Charlie?
Kill them? Are you talking about murder, Charlie?
D.A. Charlie, do you think murder? And also, I think if you ever type the word methinks, your computer should explode.
Yeah. Well, you should have just written methinks and, like, Cliffy pops up like, you might be one of the people dislike generally. Bye!
Hi there. It seems like you're making things worse for everybody. Do you want to shape up or ship out? Okay, I have another question here.
No, Justin.
Oh, no.
No, it's time. It's time for our first Max Fun Drive break. It's our first Max Fun Drive break. Take a break now.
Pledge gifts this year. Well, let's talk about the Max Fun Drive. So we're on this. I'm going to give you the short version. We're on a network called Maximum Fun. They make a lot of great podcasts.
Been here for 7 years?
Been here for seven
that's
years.
That's wild, man. I can't believe that.
They can never get rid of us. And this is a network funded by you, the listeners. And that's how we pay the bills around here.
We also do advertisements, which you hear on the show, but those pale in comparison to what we get from donations from viewers like you.
This would not run, and
the James L. Knight Foundation.
This would not run on advertising alone. We need you to support us. And so once a year, we come to you and say, hat in hand, and say, hey, if you like the stuff you're listening to on the network, please, could you pay a little bit for it? What does that look like? Well, we're talking about you pledging a certain amount that you can afford to pay every month. If you pledge just $5, you are going to get exclusive bonus content that, and I'll be honest, at this point, it is a lot. It's of a bonus content.
I mean, it's 7 years of My Brother and Me bonus content. Okay. Three of Adventure Zone.
There's videos. There's an exclusive clip from our CISO show that you can't find anywhere
else.
Oh, yeah, I set that up.
Oh, that's
awesome.
There's
like a exclusive clip from the CISO show. It's Ciccarelli and before the teens.
Oh, thing. Fuck it's me. Really that's good stuff.
And you get all that, plus episodes of all the other shows. Every show on the network does a bonus episode. There's tons of great stuff. Sydney and I, for our show Sawbones this year, did just an hour about Goop. Just talked about Goop for an hour.
The Gwyneth Paltrow thing?
Yes.
Oh, man. That sounds like required listening.
Well, let's write it down then. For My Brother, and Me, we did Your Three Dads. An episode about us being dead.
Okay, now, just full
did you
transparency.
See the art that I made for Your Three Dads, by the way?
No.
It's really very good stuff.
Yeah.
Full transparency, it's the worst of the bonus content of this
so
year.
Oh, it's so bad.
It was a pit for us to pour sort of our fatherly exhaustion into, just a big cup full of our very tired brew.
Yeah.
A
lot of gadgets.
For Rose Buddies, we talked to the Bachelorette Canada, Jasmine Lorimer. Did an interview with her about life after being the Bachelorette. That was really, really fun.
For Schmanners, we watched and reviewed series 5 of Great British Bake Off.
Oh, nice.
Ooh, nice.
Trends like these.
The whole series? What a bargain.
We talked about the trends from 1900 to 1920.
If times are tight, we fucking totally, totally get it. And really, we don't... there are people who are like, I can only do $5 a month. Like, that's awesome. Just... The fact that you would support us in that way is incredible, and like we don't care like how much you give. It's just I was a supporter of the network before we were on the network, and it was just because I was a big JJ Go fan, and I just wanted to like be a supporter of this thing that I really liked, and it felt really good. And so if you listen to our shows and you want to feel some ownership over this really cool thing that we've all made together, then this is the way to do it.
Just a couple others, and we'll talk about more later, but if you can pledge $10, you're going to get a Drive exclusive enamel pin designed by Megan Lynn Cott. If you've ever seen the I think it was a calendar, but designs of all the Max Fun shows as cats.
Mm-hmm.
This is
last year was the bandanas with the individual designs on them.
Yeah, this year we got cool pins for $20.
From Bim Bam, it's a snake that says Zag on them. It's really good,
fucking sweet. There's a Keep in Touch kit at $20. You get the other stuff plus custom note cards and envelopes and a 4-color rocket pin, a rocket stamp, a rocket shaped candle that smells like sharpened pencil, friendship, and a little bit of wax because it's a candle. That's at $20. And if you're already a donor, first off, thank you. Secondly, you can get these gifts if you just upgrade to the next level. So if you're a $5 member right now, upgrade to $10, you're going to get...
And if you become a $20 donor, you get the gifts at $10 and $5, and it all stacks up. But also, our goal for this time, for this go-round, is 10,000, which I'd say is...
New donors, not dollars.
Yeah, 10,000 new and upgrading donors.
I shit $10,000.
And it's a pretty ambitious goal, but like... We more or less hit it last year. Yeah. Last year we were like 9,800.
So let's do it.
So let's do it. There's a bunch of new shows on the network, and like I'm optimistic we can get the Rose Buddies. This is Rose Buddies' first year, and like we do a lot of shows, and we get a lot of people who ask us like, "How do you guys do so much stuff?" The answer to that is like we are able to make a career out of it because of the donations we get from
your
the next
money
one,
also goes straight to the shows that you listen to.
When you choose the shows you listen to, what you want to support.
Right, and a portion goes to Max Fun, and the rest of it is just split up among those shows. So you're directly supporting shows by saying you listen to them. We'll talk more about this in a bit, but for right now, go to MaximumFun.org and click Donate. That's MaximumFun.org, and click on Donate. Choose the membership level that's right for you. Give them your credit card and other basic information. And just like that, you'll be a member.
But if you become a new and upgrading donor, new or upgrading donor, make sure to let us know. Tweet at us, put it in our Facebook group, something, so we can say thank you. And get involved.
There's Jesus, Travis, that sounds like a lot of work. Travis will certainly say thank you.
Yeah, one of our many underlings will do it. We'll make our babies do it.
I'm going to have my social media manager...
There's going to be Max Fun meetup days and special events and live events. There's a ton of stuff.
Support stuff you love. Okay. Another question here from, well, I'll tell you in a second.
Yeah, we'll get there.
We'll get there. Don't rush me. I've never been very social at work outside my immediate team members. Today, while walking down the hall, two guys pointed me out with an audible, "Hey, it's that guy." I have never spoken to either of these men outside a courtesy nod in passing. And do not even know their names. How should I take this address?
Oh, man.
What could have labeled me as that guy, and how can I own it? And that's from that guy in that office.
Something bad. It's not good, right? No, I think we can all agree. Good. This is not good.
It's not good.
This is something that would really eat at me. If I was just walking down the street, and somebody just randomly like, hey, it's that guy, and kept going, I'd be like, what do you mean? What? What do you mean? What are you saying? And I think that would live with me for 20 years.
I gotta ask. And this is a tough question, and you may not be ready to answer it right now. And if you're not, that's fine. And if the answer is yes, then no judgment. But are you Numa Numa?
Are you the Numa Numa guy?
Are you the Numa Numa guy? Are you?
Is there a way to search for yourself to make sure you're not a meme?
I'm going to search.
That's the thing. These days?
Yeah.
Everybody can be everybody's memes. Somewhere there's a meme for every human being.
The snake ate its own tail. Drew Scanlon, a guy I know, a giant bomb.
Oh my God, he's the biggest meme in the universe. Became the biggest meme.
Have you seen the guy blinking? Like, that's Drew Scanlon. He works at Giant Bomb. It's from one of the Giant Bomb videos. And it was like, oh no, memes are happening to real people now. They're not just made up people. Real people are being memed.
Everybody's being memed all the time.
Be careful. Maybe you're a meme and you don't even know it yet.
And the thing is, when you become a meme, you can't take that back. You can't unmeme yourself.
Maybe they were just saying it randomly, you know, like just being weird. Sometimes people just do weird stuff.
Yeah.
You know that one scene in Austin Powers?
Uh-huh.
It's early in the movie, and Austin's like, there you are. And
you can do that better.
There you are.
You can do that way better.
That's my best.
There you are.
There you are.
Yeah, baby. You're doing this like...
I mean, it's hard to do like three words.
Just hello, there you are.
Your voice sounds a lot like your Austin Powers.
It's me, Austin Powers, isn't it? Jiminy's me mojo's gone all wanky.
Let me finish my point. So Austin's like...
Oh, like Jaffy Cakes.
There you are. Like it's that. Better. And the woman's like, do I know you? And he's like, no, but that's where you are. You're there. And...
Fuck, that's funny.
So the thing I wanted to make... The point I was trying to make with that is, don't you think they should make another Austin Powers
Okay, listen, we're finally all in a room together. We've got some time on our
hands. Yeah, I'm shutting my computer.
We're going to pitch Austin Powers 4 right now. This is our backdoor pilot for Austin Powers 4.
We got to get back to basics.
It's got
to
be Son of Austin Powers.
He's got to have a son. Got to have a son. Got to have a son. Right? Have a son.
Yeah.
Who's the son of Austin Powers? He's a teen.
Justin Bieber. Young.
Eddie Redmayne.
No.
Ooh.
Yeah, you jumped on my Eddie Redmayne.
Eddie Redmayne is very good.
Ooh, okay, we got to do time travel, right? It's Austin Powers' son from the future.
We've already done
he
that.
He just had a baby.
We're not time traveling.
No.
He's got a son.
They time traveled in every no. one of them.
Not in this I know, one. But not this one. This back one, he's
to,
he's,
this one's called Austin Powers Back Number 2 Basics.
I want to keep it real. It's Mike Myers Day. He's a 70-year-old man, and he had a son, and maybe he's a grandpa. Maybe his son's about to have
Michael
a son.
Michael Caine is back in it.
Michael Caine's dead as disco. There's no way in this world...
Wait, hold on. Don't just spring that on me. Michael Caine's not actually sorry. Dead, right?
What Justin is saying is Michael Caine is alive now, but there's no way he outlives the next Austin Powers.
Austin Powers is 70.
Then we Jedi ghost a minute. We have definitely need a Michael Caine Jedi ghost scene.
Now.
Record it today.
Yeah. Right now, there's a movie executive at... Who owns these rights?
Paramount.
There's a movie executive at Paramount hearing this right now and saying to himself... Oh, this is going to be great. What we're going to do, we're going to CGI Mike Myers to make him play his own son. No, listen to me. That's wrong. Don't chase that.
It's real. It's Eddie Redmayne as his son, and he's at school or...
Is he training? Maybe he's training.
Maybe he's a DJ, and he's not in the spy life, but for some reason...
Oh,
fuck.
Oh, Austin Powers has been kidnapped.
Austin Powers... Okay, Dr. Evil set a trap 30 years ago. For Austin Powers, and it's a trap just for Austin Powers. And the thing is, they stole Felicity Shagwell and locked her in a trap that only Austin can access. Except Austin's been captured by another villain that's competing with Dr. Evil. Okay, Austin Powers Jr. has enough of. They theorize. Basil Exposition theorizes that Austin Powers Jr. will have enough of Austin's DNA or genetic material to break into the facility that only Austin could access because it's DNA to rescue Felicity Shagwell, and the two of them will rescue Austin Powers together, and she's got to like, you know, your dad's not as bad as,
yeah,
et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Here's what here's what I like about this. No humor. No jokes.
This is a very dark, gritty reboot.
It's not dark and gritty, guys. I want to get this made. I'm tired of us pitching a bunch of fart ideas that don't get made. And we always say gritty reboots. Gritty this, gritty this. I want to make Austin Powers 4.
It's not a gritty reboot. It's just like a really in-depth, like deep dive into like family and stuff like that.
Okay, let me take it one step further. The competing villain, that's Scott Evil. Scott Evil is now turning, he's got his
Austin, whole other... Austin Powers : Generations.
This is so good.
Like father, like son.
You'll never guess who helps Felicity and Austin Powers Jr. Rescue Austin from Scott Evil. You'll never guess who helps.
Is it Dr. Evil?
It's Dr. Evil, Travis.
Dr. Evil.
That's who helps to get back on top.
Mm. This is really good.
Austin Powers : Sins of the Father.
This is good. Eddie Redmayne is such a fucking good pull for Austin Powers. I wish it wasn't a British person, but I think that Eddie's probably...
Well, I
would also like to find an opportunity. Ooh, maybe number 2's had a son, and it's number 3, number 4, number 8.
And just like that, we've lost it.
Played by Shia LaBeouf.
Just like that. We're back.
Yep. I thought I'd get you in there.
Wait,
I
really want Shia LaBeouf, movie son.
I have the perfect person to play Austin. Now, Eddie Redmayne is not
to
bad.
Play Austin? I think
America
Austin.
Knows the favorite person.
You're fairly confident you can get Mike?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
You think you can get Mike? I feel like if you could get Mike, we would have had this film already,
Mike Myers has a second cell phone like a drug dealer because he does not want to be on his real phone making a call and miss the one from Paramount asking him to be Mike Myers.
Can I hit you guys with this for Austin Powers Jr.?
Uh-huh.
Adam Devine from Workaholics.
Oh, my God.
That's think about it.
Really, 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 really it. That's it. That's really it.
Can perfect.
Justin,
The guy's fucking hysterical.
Yeah.
He makes me laugh all the time. So we don't need to write jokes in our movie. Just be funny.
Can I throw a little bit of spaghetti at the wall? A little bit of comedy spaghetti. You guys tell me what you think.
Yeah.
We do a small crossover scene with the Master of Disguise as played by Dana Carvey.
Okay, so you're getting a little deep.
Because I think if there's a scene. Maybe this is it. Because I just want a tiny, tiny scene of like Austin in the prison where he's been captured. And the guy in the cell next to him is Dana Carvey. But something for the fans. It's like, oh, they're back together.
We're not
waiting
worthy
for this.
Yeah, we're not worthy. I love that.
And maybe there's a thing where someone says literally we're not worthy. He's a big fan.
Can I suggest one other name for Austin Powers? What about Kristen Schaal as Austin Powers Jr.? Austin could go either way as a name. He had a daughter. She's not in the life, but now she is.
Austin Powers Jr. is Kristen Schaal. I'm just saying that's another
option. That would be fucking really good, too.
That's pretty, I would also like to get Kate McKinnon in there somewhere, just because I've been trying to find a project to work McKinnon. With her.
Yeah. Yeah,
love to work with her. You know she's going to be Miss Frizzle in the new...
I do know that.
What?
Yes.
I do know that.
Okay.
Were we recording a podcast?
Yeah, I think that's about enough.
I forgot what we were doing.
So anyway, in closing, give us some money to do this.
I think we were doing a question, weren't we?
Yeah.
It was that guy. No,
we
got that guy.
We did it.
Okay.
That's how you be that guy. You're the guy who got Austin Powers 4
off the ground.
Why don't you read another one?
Okay.
I'm also fine with doing Austin Powers 4 instead as like an HBO series. Rather than just doing, I think there's too much to be told in one movie. I think we could make it a series.
It would be nice if it was a series, because then otherwise my 3-pack Blu-ray collector's Criterion edition of Austin Powers it won't feel so shameful if it's a TV series next to that. If this is a fourth movie, what am I going to buy a new box?
It just doesn't make sense. You just get duct tape it on.
I was doing some chores with my girlfriend at her apartment the other day and noticed something peculiar. While she was washing dishes, she would scrub them with a sponge, shake them off, and set them out to dry.
Wait. What?
She would scrub them with a sponge.
Yes.
Shake them off.
Yeah.
And then set them out to dry. She does not rinse her dishes. I love this woman more than anything, and I don't know how to lovingly say that she isn't finishing her dish job. We plan on moving in together later this year, and I can't imagine eating off soapy dishes for the rest of our lives. Please help. That's from Sudsy near Seattle. Let me say this first off. That's obviously utterly baffling human behavior. But one thing we should understand going into this is that I don't know if this question asker is a man or a woman or a non-binary person. It doesn't really matter. Telling your partner they don't wash the dishes good is never going to be good optics.
Do you want to wash the dishes by yourself forever?
Because this is a good way. Oh, shit, it's a honeypot.
This is a honeypot.
I've been working for the last 9 years with my wife to get her to just not make me fill the dishwasher anymore. But I'm like, I don't know, honey, bowls. Because I can't even. She's like, just do it better. I'm like, damn it. I'll get you next time.
I'll get you next time, Gadget.
My wife still doesn't do it right. And there's a right way to do it. Dishwasher.
I don't do it right. Teresa does. Teresa can fit every dish and cup and plate and everything we own in one load of dishwasher, and I put 4 bowls in, and somehow it's overcrowded.
See, we got this fucking Martha Stewart square dishware, and it's just like it's interlocking. It's like fucking tetrominoes and that shit.
She's like actually making it worse in a way, because the food particles, the food particulate, if you will, is still there. It's still present, and now there's soap
in the mix.
Oh, but you guys are missing the worst element of this. Your nasty ass sponge. Yeah. Sponge is fucking gross.
What's wrong with your sponge?
Well, it touches every bit of everything on the plate, right? And then sits still wet, still with shit in it, just like out in the open air. And then you scrub it again. Unless you do have a dishwasher, but you only use it to wash your sponge between washing dishes.
A nightmare.
You have to buy a new sponge every time.
You need one.
This is funny that we're talking about this. Speaking of like different dish procedure, I tend to hand wash dishes more. We have a dishwasher. I tend to hand wash dishes usually because it's like... No, I don't have to worry about it. I just wash it real quick and then put it up. But I lay it out, and I don't ever dry it. And I mentioned this to... I went and got my haircut by my man, Sonny, my dude at Master Cuts, who I've discussed before. And he said, I told him this. We were discussing dishes for some reason. I told him this. He said, buddy, nobody dries their dishes. It's on TV. If you're on TV, you dry your dishes. Nobody dries their dishes,
buddy. Who's got time for that? Well, I think we all realize that, like, the sun dries it or whatever if you just, like, put it somewhere for a
while. But when he said that about, like, it's something they do on TV,
yeah.
I started thinking, like, no, wait a minute. if you watch Dawson's Creek any time, or and sometimes the OC, but any time in Dawson's Creek, the
nobody
OC,
does any chores on the OC ever.
Any time the mother character on either of those shows is having a conversation, she is chopping vegetables, like constantly chopping vegetables. And maybe drying dishes is like that. It's like, it's weird to just stand in the kitchen and have a conversation. So like, we're inventing this idea of drying your dishes. So like, there's some movement in the blocking, but it's just a media creation of drying dishes. Because we all know if we're sitting and looking at each other dead in the eye, in the dead of night, we look at each other, wake up out of dead sleep, we look at the other person and say, they dry on their own, don't they? They do.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do. It's called evaporation.
Time dries all plates. As
you guys dried plate? Are you guys drying dishes out there?
No. The only thing I do dry one thing. It's pots and pans. I'll dry a pot because they're metal. And I've seen like sheet pans go rusty from like a little bit of moisture caught in like a fold of something, you know, in like a
I got corner. That space age material, dude. I got that fucking hydrophobic alloy, so I'm not worried about
that. Also, the problem with pots and pans is they're so big and clunky that like it's hard to find a good place to just stack. Anyways, we're getting off topic.
How can we help this person? What should they do? They can't say anything, right? They just have to rinse.
You got
to
rewash it at 3 a.m. Wake up and like do the fucking like cobbler's elf shit.
You could do a thing. Okay, you could do this move. Honey, I just read the darndest thing. Do you know that there are people that rinse their dishes,
you know,
after they scrub them?
I read in Popular Scientific American that
that's just Neil deGrasse Tyson is what you've just described.
that rinsing your dishes is actually, like, I don't like to rinse them either, but apparently it's actually better.
It makes you smarter like Mozart.
You know Mozart rinses dishes?
You know, yeah.
Pretty weird. I read a Yahoo?
Yeah,
or
please.
Should we talk more about the Maximum Fun Drive?
Read another Yahoo.
This Yahoo was sent in by Rachel Rose in Game Recognized Game. Thank you, Rachel. Yahoo Answers user, well, this one's just anonymous, so I'm going to call him Reince, asks, do celebrities have to go to school? Do celebrities have to go to school? Now, I know they bring in, like, the fucking Olsen twins. They're like, we'll bring school to you, and they bring in a tutor or whatever. I have a friend who was in Billboard Dad with the Olsen twins and said that they had to, like, share, like, a tutor for a day, and it's like, I bet that's not... Okay, I want to be very careful with my language here, because I'm not saying celebrities are dumb or anything like that. Obviously, Mayim Bialik is, like, a super genius. But I have to think the school they bring to you on the set of Billboard Dad isn't very good.
Well, here's the thing, Griffin. Counterpoint. Why would it need to be? What do you go to school for? What do you go to college for?
To get a job on Billboard.
To get a career.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you've made it to starring in Billboard Dad, what career are you worried about getting?
If you think about it, a lot of people will say, like, if you're going to try to be in entertainment, don't have a plan B, because it's so hard to make it in entertainment that if you have a plan B, that's what you're going to fall back on. So maybe if you're already in Billboard Dad, like, learning how to think is admitting weakness. If you learn how to think and what, like, sciences and numbers and stuff, you're saying to yourself, I might not always be riding this gravy train.
Yeah.
So maybe you shouldn't. Maybe it's like you're setting yourself up for failure in the entertainment industry.
I like that in your world, Justin, the person who's worried about not always riding this gravy train is the child actor and not who's ever in control of the child.
It's
like, I don't want them to learn about reading. They could lose this forever.
The image I keep coming back to is you're on the set of Billboard Dad, and you're, the tutor comes and goes to the Olsen twins and says, what is this shape with the six sides of it? And Mary Kate says, well, that there is a rhombus. And the teacher says, no, it's not a rhombus. Try again. And Mary Kate says, I'm Michelle fucking Tanner.
It's a rhombus.
It is a rhombus.
Do you think, okay, we're going to make a good point though. Do you think that in the day-to-day life of the Olsen twins, if one of them misidentified a basic shape, anybody's going to fucking correct them?
Yeah.
How rude.
No
way. On the set of Home Alone 2, nobody's going to go to Macaulay Culkin and be like, what's 60 times 4? And he's like,
it's 240.
Yeah. Okay. Mr. Math Blaster over there.
But the question is this, like,
I think he asked that, and then Macaulay Culkin just throws a wad of $100 bills into his fucking open. What's 60 times 4? Oh, he threw a wad of $100 bills into my mouth. What the fuck?
Like, if you're Elijah Wood, right, and you're filming North, and someone's like, hey, tell me about this, like, battle from Civil War, you'd be like, no, I'm starring in North. Bye.
Bye. I'm in North. Bye. Macaulay, I'd like to, you did the required reading, right? You read 1984, and he's just like, I'm playing Sonic the Hedgehog, Sonic and Knuckles with Michael Jackson right now. Can you, we're eating Pizza Hut and playing Sonic. Can you please fucking get out of my hair?
I gotta go dangle Elijah Wood out of a treehouse.
That was a documentary, that movie.
You do, like, you could make the argument that if you are famous... And that doesn't last, right? Like, there's so few people for whom they can consistently keep that up their whole lives, right? So you can make the argument that if they make you go to school when you're famous as a child, you're, like, missing dope shit you could be doing everywhere. You could be, like, going to parties and...
I'm not saying... I don't want to be... I know celebrity... I know education's important. I know that these people work hard to teach these kids. I'm just saying, I don't know how you teach what is essentially a god.
That's the thing, is I'm not saying all celebrities are dumb. I'm saying that if I were a child celebrity, you couldn't get me to read.
You could not get me to learn.
I would hire 8 people to read scripts to me.
What? Okay, but like, normal kids don't have to learn about like how to retain as many points as possible on the back end of the international distribution rights, which like the Olsen twins have to be. It's just a different... It's a different education. It's a different intelligence.
They get street smarts.
They get... No, how, but like, if the street is...
Hollywood Boulevard smart.
I bet you. Maybe. I bet you. Mara Wilson paid a lot of attention and like really liked learning from her teachers.
Well, Mara Wilson is in fact a genius.
Yeah, I know.
If I was a genius, I could probably be like a child actor. I don't want to smart too.
Yeah, I don't want to paint with too broad a brush. Is what I'm saying.
But I'm saying back in time. Okay, let's travel back to the 1700s. Right, you were apprenticed to a printmaker. There weren't people there like, okay, but also we need you to learn about baking and shit.
That's what I'm saying.
You had the one job and you were happy with it. If you're a child star, you have apprenticed. You have your job. Your career path is set.
It's like romance education is a modern contrivance. Like, you don't need it under
we're
all this stuff.
We're breaking down some shit on this episode.
Why can't we go back to a day where if someone's like, can you balance your checkbook? And you're like, no, I was in Star Trek. Like,
yeah.
Obviously, my job is being in Star Trek. Your job is to balance my checkbook. Everybody wins.
That's like,
I'm a job creator.
That's the problem with the economy now. Too many people getting into other... Like, I do my own taxes. No, you shouldn't do your... You should pay someone else to do your taxes because that's their job. They also need money. Why are you taking money away from people who know how to do your taxes?
Yeah, learning too much is just hurting the economy.
This is true.
We're saying some stuff on this one.
You know what? Another way of getting close to the truth, and that's to donate to the Maximum Fun drive. The Max Fun drive is going on right now. If you go to MaximumFun.org, click that donate button and just help us out for $5 a month. You're going to get oodles upon oodles of...
Noodles.
You're going to get right to your door.
Noodles delivered directly to you.
Still hot. How do they do it?
At $10. We didn't touch on this one. $35?
Yes.
If you can spare $35, and I know that's a chunk of change, but maybe you can spare it. Maybe you listen to, like, a lot of shows. We hear from people a lot where they were listening to 2 shows, and then within the last year, they picked up Still Buffering and Rose Buddies and Schmanners, and they think, I'm going to listen to a lot more shows. I should up my donation. If you can get to $35 a month, you're going to get the stuff we already talked about, the bonus content, the enamel pin, the Keep in Touch kit. You're also going to need a pair of Rocket engraved beer mugs, which that's going to make your frosty brews go down real nice.
Yeah.
If you can say...
Time to blast off to adventure in drinking.
I'm going
to
drink.
You can put anything there.
Yeah.
You don't got to be alcoholic. You could have a root beer float in those mugs.
Yeah.
Oh, treat yourself.
This is the way... These drives are the way that, like we don't like asking for money. But we do like the idea... Well, Travis does.
I do. I wasn't going to say it, but I love asking for money.
We don't, broadly speaking, like asking for money. But we do... The reason I don't feel bad about the Max Fun Drive is that I really do believe it's worth paying for the stuff that you like. And we are in... The way media has sort of diversified, you can find stuff that's much more niche than you used to be able to, but you have to... You have to be the one to support that stuff. And you have to be the one who says, I like this. I want more of it. Because there isn't that broad, you know, media buy, you know, like Gillette isn't buying a bunch of ads to keep their shows running. Like, we rely on the people who like the stuff to pay for it. It really does mean a lot.
When it comes down to it, we don't miss episodes. Like, we work as hard as we can to not miss episodes because we know that there are people out there supporting us who love the things that we made and look forward to it every week, and they're supporting us, and like, it means a lot to us. And so, like, it's a job for us. Yeah. That's also a passion for us.
We work really hard. Well, I think I only really work really hard on Adventure Zone, but the other ones I do work some on.
Well, so. We work hard to write the scripts for My Brother, and Me.
Yeah, that's sure.
That's hours and hours every year.
And to pay the writers.
Yeah.
And to pay the writers.
To pay Sorkin ain't cheap.
Yeah.
And so I think what's really... Sorry, I'm going to take this one again. This is confusing. Hey, Jerry, what were you thinking with this fucking line, dude? Jerry Seinfeld, Mr. Jerry Seinfeld, when you wrote this line for our script, how did you think I was going to deliver this? Fucking just amateur.
You're fired, Jerry.
You're fired, Jerry Seinfeld. We have more money than you now because of the Maximum Fun family.
We have I think part of the reason our show has been, and we as people have been successful, is that our listeners know that we aren't going to speak a bunch of bullshit to them, that we tell them the truth.
I lied about Jerry Seinfeld.
So here's the truth. If you listen to our shows and you like it and you don't pay money and you could pay money, you're stealing it. And you're a thief and you should go to prison forever.
I don't think that's too much to ask.
I think
if you do this and you know you have the money and you don't give it to us and you could and you want to but don't, I think just go surrender yourself to a jail right now.
And also, listen, we're working on the honor system here, but it's kind of a reverse honor system where if you have a friend that you know could donate $5 a month and they listen to our shows and they don't donate $5, you need to take that friend to jail.
Yeah, you need to send that friend to jail. If you know in your heart you could ask Ken Jeong to donate $100 a month to Max Fun and you don't do it.
You don't do it?
You're kind of stealing from us in a way.
Yeah, so both of you should go to... Who goes to jail?
Both of them go to jail. It's a prisoner's dilemma. Is that it?
That's not how it works at all.
If you don't go to jail, your friend has to go to jail for 5 years. But if you both go to jail, it's 2.5 years.
Hey, everybody, before we get off on a bunch of fun stuff... Please don't tweet at anybody. Don't tweet at Ken Jeong.
This is a personal journey between you and your wallet and your jail.
But if you do have a friend who is listening and is stealing it, you do owe it to rat them out.
Yes.
By which I mean, tell them to donate because we really appreciate you. MaximumFun.org and then just click donate. There's a wide range of levels from $5 all the way up to $200. I don't know what you get at $200. Oh, you get free registration to Max FunCon 2018. So that's like...
Hey, hell yeah.
Hell yeah. So that's great.
And for $100... And you also, remember, all of them stack.
Yeah.
So at $200, you get everything before it. At $100, you're in the Inner Circle Culture Club, where every month you get something sent to you that the hosts or people that work at Max Fun have chosen for you.
We got called up to do that for February for Rose Buddies, and we were like, oh, how about this Al Jarreau album that me and Rachel like? And then he died like that day. So I'm just saying we need to be really very careful.
Very careful. It's great. Anyway,
the Culture Club is really fun, but it's also very cursed.
I actually really like this time of year because I get to see everybody sort of saying like, hey, it means a lot to see so many people say, hey, what you do means something to me, and I'm going to show it by kicking you a few bucks. That it really means the world. And even if you, if you can just find it in your heart to give us $5 a month, it really does help keep the lights on and supports a whole network of people that are handling a lot of shit so we don't have to. We really appreciate you doing that. So MaximumFun.org, and then click the donate button. I was getting my Munch Squad on at McDonald's breakfast after work. When I sat down for my feast, a guy walked in the door, looked at me, and said, idiot can't even make his own pancakes. How pathetic.
Don't laugh at that. I mean, it's a power play.
This person was just eating breakfast at McDonald's, and then they sat down to eat. A guy walked in the door, looked at them, and said, idiot can't make his own pancakes, how pathetic, and then walked back out. What is this fucking mysterious assassin? I tried to enjoy my meal, but all I could taste were dejection and tears. How can I track this guy down? Explain how restaurants work. Project the image of a man who definitely understands the process of making pancakes to every stranger I encounter. And that's from Hobbs.
Here's the thing. This thing this person did was wrong, but also, I think, very funny, maybe, also. Because the alternative is you walk into a pizza and you're like, all these fucking idiots don't know how to make their own pizza. Bye!
Very
very funny. I think there's a nicer way of doing this. Here's the nicer, amazing way of doing this. Walk into McDonald's, see someone eating a stack of pancakes, hand them a recipe for pancakes, and then walk out the
door. That's a sweet way of doing it. You're right, Justin. This is the Mabim Bam way of doing
it. That's
a
nice way of
doing
it.
You walk in and you hand them a recipe for pancakes.
Still hilarious.
And you say, for next time.
For next time, try this. Go for it.
And it's fun.
Hey, it's fun.
I want to be...
If you do it wrong, they're crepes.
It's fine.
I want to be in the head of the person who's walking by McDonald's, sees someone eating a sack of flapjacks, and is like, I got to go in there.
I got to get them.
Fucking double parks.
Just pulls up on the lawn of McDonald's, rolls out.
Victoria, just go around the block. I'm just going to be a sec.
But you grab me a biscuit. No, you don't get it. I'm not getting anything in there.
No, I think they went in wanting to buy something, and then they just had to put this stuff up.
They have pancakes here. You can do this at home.
Okay, but what could... Okay, pancakes, I think, are very easy to make at home, and I think they probably are... I've never had restaurant pancakes.
Deceptively difficult, Justin.
Well, to
getting the right pan temperature.
No, come on.
None of the things that McDonald's will worry about in any way, shape, or form when they're perfecting.
When they're defrosting.
Yeah, now, like, they're easy to make at home.
It is undeniable that McDonald's does have dark, arcane breakfast treats that no... Like, you tell me how they make that McGriddle...
Tell me how to make a McGriddle right now.
With the biscuit, with the syrup nugs, like...
Well, they have these magical crystals of syrup that somehow, like...
A wizard gave them, like a syrup wizard, a Canadian syrup wizard, a maple witch.
That's why it was such a big deal when they did breakfast all day, because they're burning through the non-renewable resource of syrup crystals so fast.
You've run out of syrup crystals. We're running low on syrup crystals.
We're running low.
Call the maple witch.
Listen, I know we try to keep it nice on this show. We try to be mean. This is maybe the funniest thing I've ever heard. I'm really trying so hard not to be entertained.
It's not funny that you got bullied, and it's not funny that this person's an ass. What's funny is the idea of walking into a restaurant just all pre-angry that people here are eating things that they could just as easily make at home.
It's just so good.
It's so good, though.
Oh, man.
Do they walk into auto body shops and they're like, change your own oil? Idiots.
Idiot doesn't even know how to change it. Idiot doesn't even know how to do a triple bypass.
Dumb.
Wow, it's just very mean but very funny. And I don't think it's even that mean.
It's real life trolling. It's exactly what it
yeah.
is.
Yeah. Well, then I'm not. Now you've ruined it. Now I'm not for it anymore.
Oh, no.
It's just.
If this happened to me, it would make my fucking week.
Oh, really? It would ruin my life. I would be really bummed out.
If someone did this to you?
If I went to McDonald's and somebody put me on blast for eating pancakes at McDonald's, I think I'd feel probably pretty
bad. Let's start with the big problems. One, you're eating in the McDonald's.
We've talked about, like, yeah. There's some problems about eating inside the fast food establishment.
There's probably...
Fast food restaurants are, by definition, a gun that shoots burgers at you. So for you to go inside the gun to retrieve the burgers from the dragon's horde is...
Would this affect you less if you were, like, at an IHOP, Griffin? Or, like, someplace, like, a fancy... IHOP's not fancy. I'm trying to think. I can't think of... There's not, like, a... If you went to, like...
If a stranger yelled at me about the food I was eating, I don't give a fuck. I don't care if I'm at... The Jiro Dreams of Sushi restaurant. Somebody kicks in the door and is like, can't make your own sushi. I'm like, oh, my dinner's ruined.
If you were at the fanciest sushi place.
Jiro Dreams of Sushi.
And somebody just walked in and was like, idiot, can't make his own sushi. Your first reaction would be like, he's right.
No, my first reaction would be, oh no, a stranger yelled at me. How are you not getting that? I don't want a stranger to yell at me for any situation in any circumstance whatsoever. So,
I would like to read the question before. It's just a perfect. I think that this question asked that this probably really happened in their real life, but it's a great TV show episode.
Okay.
A little while ago, I was messaged by someone on a gaming website that they lived in the same area as me and were interested in getting together to play a local game of Rock Band to try and beat the 4-hour-long endless set list of all songs in the game. I agreed, and after we settled on a time to meet up and do this, I drove to the address he gave me. After sending my wife my location, in case this was an attempt to lure me into a Saw-like trap, I rang the doorbell, only to discover that it was even worse, and the guy who invited me was a high school sophomore less than half my age. To make things more awkward, his mom was also there, doing weekend cleaning and vacuuming the house. I stayed and played the entire 4-hour session.
Well, yeah.
But nobody... But nobody who was there in that house acknowledged how awkward and weird this was. And when it ended, I quickly gathered my things and got away as quickly as I could. Could I have done anything to make this situation less awkward? As a man in his 30s, am I just too old to be meeting up to play video games with strangers from the internet? And that's from Rock Band Regrets in the Pacific Northwest.
Rushmore. Rushmore.
It's a Rushmore. It's a,
we got a real life Rushmore.
A real life
Rushmore. You got the opportunity to mold young minds. And it's just like, you're just like paradiddle, paradiddle, like hitting those drums and like playing along to the Killers or whatever the fuck's in Rock Band. And then you just like look at him, you're like, boom, da, da. So you dating?
You know what the best character in this story is? Mm-hmm. It's the mom.
Yeah.
When the mom who's just like cleaning is like, what's going on?
What's going on?
Okay. She well, like, have fun.
Does the goosh, does the goosh, does the goosh.
Have you ever wanted to be a ward? Have you ever wanted to be somebody's ward?
Yeah.
You can be my ward. Does the goosh, does the goosh.
Honey, are you going to be that man's ward? Okay.
That's fine.
You guys
fine.
Have fun. Oh, you're playing Rush? That seems fun. Okay, bye.
A worse thing has happened to me than this.
Oops.
I used to work at a newspaper called the Ironton Tribune, and we had this feature called the Dart. And the way the Dart worked is you would throw a dart at Lawrence County, where we covered. And you would
throw a dart at Lawrence, and he would try to get out of the way of it.
Hey, stop it!
No. Oh, my face.
Throw a dart at a map of Lawrence County, and you would go to where the dart landed and find news there. Lawrence County is not the sort of does not have the density to support this concept, but we did the dart every week. And I went to this location. It was the job everybody hated, and we would all fight each other to not have to do it. And I went to the dart, and I walked around this block for about a half hour. Before I finally found two teens sitting on their stoop, and they're the only humans I'd encountered. So I said, like, well, you guys got
any news?
What are you guys doing?
What's the scoop?
They were like, well, no, we're not doing anything. I was like,
could you do something?
What are you about to do? And they're like, well, we're going to go play DDR. And I was like, okay, can I come with you?
Justin Tyler. I want you to know the feeling that I'm feeling right now.
It's
is
shock.
Pride.
It's surprise.
No, it's pride. I'm feeling pride that Justin approached human beings and then invited himself along with
that's
them.
Part of being a reporter. That's why I quit, because I was so bad at it. And I was like, are your parents here? And they're like, yeah, no problem. And like, I went to their dad, I think. I was like, I gave him the whole spiel. I was like, I'm just gonna watch them play DDR and take a couple pictures and then like write about it. And he's like, oh, okay.
What, and the, so did that you pitch was, a headline? Did you have a headline to this freaking local news?
Two boys step right.
Local teens play DDR as obese man watches from fucking Star Wars sheets. So I went up and sat on their bunk bed and took pictures of these teens playing DDR. And like, no one knew when it had been enough. Like, I didn't. I kept waiting for
the story. Yo, dog. We got it.
Right. Yo, I kept dog. Waiting for something like.
I would have known. Had you invited me along as a sort of assistant, I would have been able to tell you this is enough.
So I kept waiting for something newsworthy to happen.
Why did they play DDR and it made North Korea change their ways?
I did one on a corner where there was a sign answer for Pizza Hut and a sign answer for Domino's on opposite corners.
See, that's an American, this American Life episode.
Wait, yeah, that was amazing. Called the Pizza Wars. I got an Ohio Associated Press Award for that one.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah, man. I was a prize winning business reporter back in the day. One last time, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for all the years of listening. Thank you to people who have donated in the past. And please, if you're not donating now or you could donate a little bit more, we ask you to just go to MaximumFun.org and click that donate button and let's just like get it rolling. And then from now on, when you listen to Max Fun shows, you could say, hey, I helped make that. I was part of that and I helped make that. And it would really mean a lot to us. So if you could take the time to do that, $5, $10, $20 a month.
Yeah, even if you can get in at $5 gets you all the bonus content and it means that you are a member and you support what we do here and we appreciate it so much because of you, we are able to grow and do more, stuff and take time off from our jobs to go make dumb TV shows or to fly to Portland and go do live shows there, like,
or donate it to Fushigi patronage.
Yeah, one of those two.
One of those two things. One of those two equally responsible. I want to thank John Roderick and the Long Winters for these four theme song and to departure off the album, Putting the Days to Bed. Good dude, good band, good tunes, man.
Good time.
Good brews.
Good brews, good tunes. Good waves. Just good dude. And yeah, thanks to Maximum Fun for having us. Go check out all the other shows this week. That's a fun thing to do. If you haven't listened to any other Max Fun shows, go try one out this week during Max Fun Drive, because
yeah,
everybody's doing their best stuff, putting their best foot forward. So
yeah, and be sure to check out the Still Buffering bonus episode they did, my sister and me. So for their bonus episode, they're taking advice and doing the Mabim Bam thing. So that's really fun. If you're not listening to that show, you should.
Yeah, it's awesome. You want that final?
Yeah.
I also just want to say thank you.
Like, yeah, thank you.
Max Fun Drive is my favorite time of the year because it really, not only is it fun and exciting and we do a lot of bonus stuff and there's a lot of events and everything, but it also is a 2-week period where I get to remember, like, be reminded that, like, we wouldn't be where we are. We wouldn't have a TV show if it wasn't for support. We wouldn't have the opportunities that we've had have come down to being on Max Fun, listeners like you, and support. And it means the world to me. And it chokes me up every time. Every Max Fun Drive, I just feel so lucky to be part of this network. So thank you.
Here comes that final, and it was sent in by Amelia Berger. Thank you, Amelia. It's by Yahoo Answers user Help Me Find My Son, who asks, is watching Air Bud on a portable DVD player in my car too intimate for a first date?
My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
You've been my brother, and me. Kiss your dad square on the lips.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.